Blog Talk Radio.
We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Things suck!
Well, it didn't suck today. I will tell you, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour post-game show. Saints win 27-21, and that game today got weird. And this season's getting weird, and it's in a good way. And I'm joined by Kevin Held, as always. Welcome to the postgame show. I'm inebriated. Kevin, the game today, the Saints were up 27-0, and we were in a bit of a panic. But the thing was, the Saints' defense was in complete control of the game from start to finish. And just because Devin Bro fell down twice, and the Colts scored on two long touchdowns, doesn't change the fact that the Saints' defense basically dominated the game. And it wasn't the Saints' normal defense of, let's give up 400 yards and fall ass backwards into three turnovers and win. That was real, like, solid, good NFL defense that I haven't seen the Saints play that good a defense in a long time.
No, I have no idea where this defense came from. Defense is absolutely to the credit on this. The lack of the decision to not run the ball in the second half.
They ran it 30 times, but they did have some odd stuff there.
Okay, wait. So you're saying? I can't get a box score right now.
They ran it 30 times. They ran
I'm going to find the box score because I want to see how many times they ran it in the first half.
In the state. In this.
Yeah, and even then, that might not be the best thing because I want to see how many times I wish there was a way I could see how many times they were running it up until the Colts started scoring.
Well, here's what you can see, Kevin. They ran it 36 times for 183 yards. But at one point, I want to say Mark Ingram, when they went up 27-0, I want to say Mark Ingram at that point had 9 carries for like $135. So from the rest of that point, Ingram only carried it 5 more times. So that's a fair point you make there, you know?
Right. The point that I was trying to make was – If you're having that kind of success running the ball and getting the ball down the field, like Breeze only threw the one touchdown. And again, I was fine with him only throwing the one touchdown. It's like, fine, get the one touchdown so you can keep that second streak of yours going or whatever the hell it is. And just keep running the ball. If 9 guys want to score rushing touchdowns or you know whatever it seemed like in that first half, fine. Because running the ball seemed to be working, or using Spiller seemed to be working. You know, doing little things there. Like it seems that they weren't. To me, it seemed that they weren't trying to pound the ball with Ingram early on, and thus Ingram, when he did come in, was able to you know, like bust things up for huge gains.
Yeah, and it was weird. I tweeted out when they went up, you know, the first half, the Colts got to stop, and I mean the Saints stopped the Colts, and then I think the Saints got the ball back, and they drove down and made it 27-0. It was just, you know, Ingram off tackle a bunch of times, and I was like, that's how you put the boot to a team. Saints.
Yeah.
And the Colts looked dead. I mean, you could see they had a lot of quitting, and I was like, this is. And then even Fox, the local Fox affiliate in Houston, switched the game. They're like, we're taking you in more competitive games. They took me to Tampa and the Redskins, and I was like, oh, I'm pissed off, but that's kind of funny. It was a weird game. I mean, you know, They held the Colts to 13 runs for 75 yards. Andrew Luck had 300 yards and 2 picks. I mean, you couldn't ask for a lot more. And by the way, if you want to call in, 646-595-4450.
You know, the thing is, Kevin, this team, I said it when they lost to Philadelphia, I thought they were the worst team in football, and they're clearly not that. They're clearly not the worst team in football.
No, they have upgraded. They have upgraded. They are not the worst team in football.
And look, I don't want to get crazy and say they're going 12-4, all that stuff. But you look, Kevin, you look at this schedule. And we, I said it in the summer, and people like Bradley from Black and Gold Review harped on it. The best thing the Saints had going for them in 2015 was the schedule. And you look at that schedule. And I'm not saying they're going to win out the rest of the way, because that's crazy. But you look at these games, Kevin, they have. I mean, they still got three games to play against the AFC South. The Texans are trash. Jacksonville's mostly trash. Tennessee is kind of trashy. When they almost beat Atlanta today, but it was 10-7 in a muck game. I mean, you still got the Redskins. You got Tampa to play. I mean, and you get the Atlanta and Carolina. You know, those games could be toss-ups. I mean, you don't have any games on this schedule where you look at them and you're like, oh, they're not winning that game. You know, like, they're not going to Green Bay. They're not going to New England. They're not going to the Jets. They're not – I mean, they don't play – they play one road game the rest of the way against a team with a winning record, and that's Atlanta.
Yeah,
you know?
Let me – shoot, let me get back and pull up the schedule. Because we were talking
in the intro about it. Yeah.
Yeah. We were briefly conversing in our lengthy pre-show meeting.
it was. Oh,
I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven out of their last nine games, as of this moment, you could say are winnable, are doable. Seven.
Yeah.
Arguably seven. And I mean, hell, to be at this point to where you could say the team can arguably get wins in seven of their last nine games is I wouldn't have believed you.
No.
Hell, I might not have believed you after the Falcons game. I might not.
No. No.
Only because that's playing the Falcons, and that's the way that thing's been for
the last eight, nine years,
whatever.
The thing that looks like it's holding steady, and we've always said it, you know, we've sort of deviated it from a little bit, you know, when they've had some bad moments this year. But we always kind of said the floor of Sean Payton and Drew Brees is 7-9. That's the floor. And they through all of whatever they've had, they have never caved through that floor. And we thought they might punch a hole in that floor this year. But, Kevin, right now, it looks like they're not. They're going to be 6-7 wins, maybe more. They're gonna be in these games. And, you know, today they got up 27-0, and it almost got away from them, but it didn't. The funny thing is with the Saints, and I'm guilty of it just as much as you. We're talking about, oh, they need to run the ball more. They need to run the ball more. You know, at one point we want them to run the ball more, and then on the next tweet we're lamenting that we have Grandpa Sean and he's not aggressive. You know, but today, Kevin, you wanted 2009 Sean Payton. You got 2009 Sean Payton today. He faked the field goal. He's throwing bombs out of his own end zone late in the game to Brandon Cooks. I mean, you know?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks had shown nothing. Like, Brandon Cooks, you know, they tried a bomb, I think, opening drive,
mm-hmm.
and didn't connect. And Cooks, you know, you didn't seem to be – weren't getting much out of him.
Brandon Cooks
so,
is – I mean, the thing about Brandon Cooks, Kevin, you can jump in and disagree with me, but – and I like him. And they, you know, they traded up for him. We won't get into that. But the thing about him, Kevin, he's a deluxe item. He's like – the 1080 HD instead of the 720, he's a deluxe item that if he played for the 2011 Saints, he'd be awesome because he's a great second or third receiver. But when you're expecting him to be your number one receiver, he's just not that way. He's just not, you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, Kevin, the Colts offensive line, they have a lot of issues. But, man, the Saints got after it today, Kevin. And Cameron Jordan has suddenly morphed into Reggie White. Pass rush that we've seen the last 2 weeks, is it real? It's 9 sacks the last 2 weeks. Is it real?
It's like it just they've woken up. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's that, you know, everybody on Twitter was saying, oh, guys are getting healthy and all that, or guys are coming back at the right time. But I mean, maybe it's that. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, guys like Delvin Bro have just like reached their zone, like, so to speak.
Well,
and maybe, I don't know, like, maybe it's the secondary is getting just well enough to get some coverage sacks or coverage pressure.
I don't know, Kevin. That pass rush today, I mean, I was trying to focus not on the ball. That pass rush today was real. I mean, they were getting after Luck. And a lot of times, because he's mobile and able to be nimble in the pocket, he avoided a bunch of it. And he's a really good quarterback, so he didn't make bad throws. I mean, if you put that pass rush, if you have that pass rush against Jameis Winston, against Mariota, against Bortles, I mean, you're going to get mistakes. You know, that was a real look. That was a fun, we're whipping them on the line kind of pass rush. Yeah, we'll get to Bro. Kevin, I know it's kind of insane to think, but I think the Saints might have stumbled onto a top 10 or maybe even top 5 shutdown corner from Canada. Like, he's really good, falling down today, notwithstanding. Like, he might be the best. Like, him and Cam Jordan are the best two players on the defense. You know, okay, would you disagree with that?
No, I would not. I mean, this season, it definitely, like, that's it. Cam Jordan finally is playing, like, his contract, or playing
well,
up to his contract.
Right.
I did the math. I finally found the play-by-play breakdown, and I looked at it. Now, again, I didn't have a chance to triple-check it, so it's possible I missed one, but after the first Colts touchdown, the Saints ran the ball 8 times.
That's not good. Yeah, Drew Brees said in the postgame show.
After that first touchdown, they only ran the ball 8 times. After that second touchdown, I can't find it, but after that second touchdown, it was there were a few runs prior to that second touchdown. So right there, you could look at that and say maybe they could have tried milking some of the clock after that second touchdown. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it was hard.
I just wanted to get that out there. I'm sure when you talk to Juge tomorrow, Juge will be able to, either back that up or have some intelligent take on it.
Yeah, the thing is, though, the running game, it had bursts. But you never, like, just when you thought they were starting to impose their will on the Colts in the third quarter, that's when the game got weird. Like, when it was 27-0, you're like, oh, my God. I was like, I almost tweeted, Ingram might go for 2 Bills. Because they were up 27-0, you figure they get a couple stops. It's just going to be run the second half. And it just got weird. But the thing is, I mean, They still have issues on offensive line, but I will give them credit. You know, give credit to Colston. We give him a lot of crap. He's still the GOAT. He's the best Saints receiver ever. And man, when they needed a big one, they threw it to him and he caught it and he salted it away. Maybe Kevin, and I'm not saying that catch today is going to spark Colston and he's going to become 26-year-old Marcus Colston, but maybe. Maybe that catch today to win the game will shake off his yips of dropping the ball. If I could just get that from him, I would be happy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, okay. So here's the thing. I'm looking at the box score. He was targeted only 3 times.
Yeah.
And so 2 of those were catches. One of them was called back as a bonehead penalty. And the other one, I don't even remember. The other one was the catch, non-catch thing anyway, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I'm only bringing this up. I'm only bringing this up because, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm all for, you know, playing Desperado and Colston riding off into the sunset like Shane at the end of that movie. But the same, like, Drew Brees only again, unless these numbers are wrong, Drew Brees only targeted him three times.
Yeah, and the Colts secondary was beat up and terrible.
They were smart in staying away from him. They targeted Spiller six times, Sneed seven times, and he only caught the ball three. And actually, by the way, the people killing Sneed on that incompletion in the end zone need to rewatch that because Brees threw it fucking behind him.
That was a great play by the Colts. If the thing is, Kevin, I know we talk about drop stuff, but the thing is, if Devin Bro makes that play, we're like, oh, that play was awesome. He stripped the ball out. So, I mean, that's a good play. I'll give – that's not a drop. To me, that was a good play by the Colts. But your bigger issue, they targeted Brandon Cooks 13 times. The bigger issue, Kevin, for this offense is their receivers just aren't any good. They just aren't. Cooks is a 2-3.
Yeah, Cooks is a 2. That's his ceiling.
Sneed is a 3. His ceiling's a 3. You know, Colston's 100 years old. Brandon Coleman, he's just a nobody. I mean, he caught one pass for 24 yards. You know? And Benjamin Watson, he's dependable, but he's old. I mean, he caught 4 for 59. One of them was on a fake field goal that was fantastic. You know, but I mean, the thing is with Kevin, like, the Saints' issues, like, I think the offensive line can get better because I think Armstead can get healthier. I think Pete might be good. You could maybe phase him in at the end of the year, and he could be an upgrade from Streif, you know, and if Evans can stay healthy. Like, you could see the line getting better, but the two main things with the Saints, and you could see the secondary getting better because Keenan Lewis could get healthy, or, you know, so you could see the secondary getting better, but the two main spots where I just don't see – a lot of room for growth for the Saints is receiver and defensive tackle. Because their defensive tackles, the good ones are Richardson. He might be better, but he's probably just like a starter, above-average rotation guy. Kevin Williams is 100 years old. At receiver, Brandon Cooks isn't going to become a superstar number one. Sneed isn't going to become an elite starting receiver. Coleman isn't. I mean, it's just kind of – this is what it is, Kevin, you know, the rest of the way. I mean,
Sneed's ceiling, I think, is a poor man's Lance Moore.
Yeah. You know?
And again, poor man's Lance Moore, not bad. It's not bad.
But you can't be looking
at poor man's Lance Moore to be like savior. Unless this team, like, here's the thing. When Lance Moore was doing great, they always, like, they, you know, the team had Pierre, so they could do screens. The team had, Sproles. So again, the screen game and those little, like, dinky passes to wide receivers, or not to wide receivers, to running backs that could potentially go for longer yardage, those were there. Like, you could do dump-off passes to running backs. I don't see them doing
that.
You know,
well, because
doing that.
The thing is now with the Saints, Kevin, is Cooks, I mean, he can beat you deep, and he beat the Colts deep for a big play today that really swung the game and flipped the field and all that. But he's not like a super dynamic game. Teams can say, okay, we don't want Cooks to beat us deep. We'll just do this. Whereas before, when the Saints had Graham, they'd be like, oh, my God, they're lining up Graham in the slot. We have to do this. And the Saints would go, oh, you want to do that? We're going to dump it off to Sproles, or we're going to dump it off to Pierre, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, and we're going to kill you. Now they say, oh, we're not going to let Cooks beat us deep, and the alternatives are Spiller, which is or Sneed or Colston in the slot. Like, there's the the plan B and C and D for the Saints just aren't very appealing on offense, you know? So you get what you get today of wild inconsistency, and that's just what you're going to have.
Yeah.
You know? But the one thing I will say, Kevin, is if, let's just say, the Saints get this thing to 8-8, you know, then the whole discussion sort of changes, because if they get to 8-8 and you've got these young kids playing so well, then I don't think you move on from Drew Brees at all, and the whole nonsense of moving on from Brees and Peyton moving on, I don't see it at all, because there's a difference between going 8-8 and being old and in decline, and if they go 8-8 with this bunch and they're playing all these kids, it's a totally different feel. Does that make sense?
It does, but I don't like it. Again, it's just here's the thing about moving on from Peyton, or here's the thing about moving on from Brees. It's Brees still has a few years in him. So,
and
that's what the talk about trading him is that if you feel that the team is not improving or isn't going to be able to turn it around in those next few years, if you get something of value for Brees, or if Peyton is suddenly being courted by somebody and you think, okay, well, maybe we're not doing anything, so screw it, let's take what we can get. I'm just trying to explain that, because I'm not going to apologize for discussing, and not that I'm saying you're accusing me or anybody, because I mean, shit, we were all doing it. But
well, look, when they were 1-4,
apologies aren't needed for discussing trading Drew or hearing offers or whatever.
The second half against Philadelphia was an abomination. And,
absolutely.
You know, at that point, you were like, "Oh my God, this is sinking." I mean, but I just think if they finish up and they look good, and you have all these young kids, Sean Payton is going to think to himself, "We're going to redo Brees' deal. We're going to get some cap room, and I'm going to go get some guards, and we're going to draft a bunch of receivers, and I'm going to get this offense humming again." And
that would be my fear, to be honest. Sean Payton says, let's draft a wide receiver, I don't know.
Yeah, the guys they've stumbled upon have been like Graham and Pierre. I mean, they haven't really found anybody on offense through the draft, except for Graham, really, you know.
Yeah, but even then, that's like third round. Somebody was going to take a chance on him, sure. And the Saints were the ones to pull the switch on him in that regard. I mean, I still look at that as an unknown.
Yeah, and look, there's a long way to go. I mean, if they'd have lost today, it could crumble their – it could have been a knife to the gut for their season. And you can sort of – you could have that at any point with this team, because, I mean, they're not terrible, but they're not good either. So, I mean, we joked on the podcast last week, Kevin, the total Saints move is to play the Giants next Sunday and look phenomenal, get to 4-4, and be a double-digit favorite against the Titans, and then shit the bed. Total Saints move to do, you know, to just sort of remind you they're not very good.
Right.
Are we going to have kicker number 11 tomorrow?
Right after I send out the tweet about Kai Forbath, and I make the clever little Star Wars pun, and and Fulbath decides just like shank the damn extra point. But I had a couple of people on Twitter telling me that it was a bad snap or a bad hold.
Horrible snap. I don't know. Like McCown had to like get up to get it down. Like he was on his knee. Like he almost had to stand completely up to get it down. So it was a bad snap. You know, but I will say this. I will say this for Fulbath. God, he's terrible at kicking off. He is awful. And I will say this
about Kyle Fulbath. Never kick off.
Never. Well, maybe he looks worse because we're spoiled from the leg, Kevin.
Yeah.
But man, he looked. I mean, you could see why. Well, I was like, oh yeah, I could see why Washington got rid of him. He's pretty bad. He's pretty bad at kicking off. Like, and
yeah.
I don't know when Morstead's going to be kicking off again, because Morstead, the way he kicks off, I hate to use this word to describe a kicker, but he kicks off like really violent. Like that does the way Morstead kicks off. It doesn't look smooth. It looks like a guy that's injured, that has an injured leg. Kicking off might not be the best thing for him. So Fulbath might be kicking off for a while. You know?
Yikes.
Is there anything else that struck you before we get out of here, Kevin? Is there anything else that struck you about this game?
I mean, other than the fact that, I mean, just I don't know. I mean, that might have been that first half, that might have been the best half of football that they played.
Oh, but that by far this year. I mean, that's the best. I would say
I mean, they pretty much were treating the Colts like they were the ones breaking into Joe Vitt's car.
This is going to sound strange because it's a game they lost, but it's probably their best half of football since Detroit last year. You know? I mean, they went to Detroit, and Detroit was a playoff team, and they were kicking Detroit in the face, and they had total control of that thing, and then it got sideways. But I would maybe say it was that, Kevin, their best half since Detroit last year. You know, although to be fair, the Colts just—they aren't very good. Not that we care, but I mean, but I guess the Colts are going to win the AFC South. I guess the Colts are going to win the AFC South, but who the hell knows, man? I think the Jaguars are 3-4 now.
Hang on. We're gonna pull this thing up here. Colts. AFC South standings. No, the Colts are 3-4. Houston and Jacksonville are tied at 2-5, and Tennessee is 1-5.
And the Saints
so
will play
the 2015,
all three of them.
The 2015 AFC South is in the running for is chasing down, what is it, the 2010 NFC West for worst division in football.
That is a trashy. And the Saints still have, I mean, they get Jacksonville and the Titans at home, and they go to Houston, which Houston may be, I mean, that's a post-Thanksgiving game, Kevin. Houston may be so bad by that point. I know you're going to say I'm crazy for this, but Reliant may be 40% Saints fans. At that point,
it's an easy drive. It's a six-hour drive.
Well, it's a six-hour
drive
for
Saints fans.
That
could be a weekend right there. Go stay at Ralph.
You got a lot of post-Katrina people here from Houston, in Houston. You know,
also true.
I mean, you can. I mean, getting tickets is easy now. You just go to StubHub or you go to the NFL Ticket Exchange and you just buy them. I mean, so that game could be 40-50% Saints fans. So I mean, that won't be much of a road game. So, I mean. Think of this, Kevin. If, and I know you, to play the what if game or is sort of fool's gold or whatever, but if McNown makes a good throw against Carolina, or the Saints just handle their business against Tampa at home, how good would we feel about this team if they were 4-3 instead of 3-4? I feel like you say, well, it's just one game. I feel like the whole attitude would be completely different about this team today if they had just held on against Tampa.
In the win against the Bucs at home, because that's a home win, and it's with Drew playing, and it's a division rival. Whereas, and I know the Panthers are a division rival too, but with the Panthers, it's a road game. You got the backup playing, and he was playing well enough in that he was playing well enough, and a whole lot of things just didn't, you know, like the offense couldn't get it done when it needed to, but that's not entirely on McCown. The defense wasn't getting stops when they needed to, but I would pick the Bucs game if we're doing the old what if.
I just feel like we'd feel a lot different. And, I mean, I still – listen, the NFC is still trash. I mean, I know Minnesota won today, but, you know, they're four – I think they're 4-2, and they would be your last wild card, I believe. You know, and the Saints, they still – the Saints, another team that they played – they played the Lions on Monday night. At home,
yeah, prime time in the dome. It's entirely the Lions are on the verge of giving up now I can't remember Cardboard Head's name.
Caldwell, Zombie Coach. They're yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're on the verge of giving up on that guy. And so you roll around to late December and that could be a dead team walking. And again,
in the dome. I mean, it's just, that's the thing, Kevin. It's like, I forget how Bradley from Black and Gold Review puts it. He says, the Saints don't have to be good. They just have to be the piece of trash they have to be on top of the garbage dump. They have to be the wrapper on top of the garbage dump. Like, they don't have to be good.
Right.
Like this schedule, these games are just, like, you look at it and you don't, the NFL is all coin flip games anyway. But these games, man, I mean, I feel pretty good about it, man. It's just the thing with the Saints is the thing that's a shame is their defensive line, since Hicks ended up being a trash heap and they had to get rid of him, and Bunkley didn't pass his physical. Their interior line is just, I think it's still the weakest spot on their team, and I don't know how you fix that, you know? Because you got Bobby Richardson, he's a undrafted free agent gem that they found, but you're not going to find multiple ones, Yules and Daniel, the rest of them aren't going to be any good, Kevin, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that's my argument when I was arguing with Nick Underhill, who's a great writer by that on the Baton Rouge Advocate. He does great film work. That's what I was arguing him in the summer. I was like, that's a huge problem when you're going to have 3 and 4 undrafted guys making your team at defensive tackle. They're all going to have to contribute at some point, and you're not going to find 2 and 3 really good undrafted defensive tackles. You're just not. Like, you stumbled into Bobby Richardson. Congratulations. You found one. He's all you got.
Yeah, I'm looking at the – I'm looking – just, you know, I'm changing the subject because I have nothing to add. Like, everything you're saying is
on point. Okay, go ahead.
I'm looking at the team stats. This might not have been updated for today. So this is either post game today or pre. So I apologize, but the Saints are 3rd in passing yards, 31st in rushing yards, and
that gets them
to 17th in total in offensive points.
In yards, you mean?
No. Okay. Pass? No. 17th in points four.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah, that's not good enough. I mean, that would be the lowest they've ever been under Peyton by a lot. I mean, they're mediocre. I mean, Kevin, the whole thing in the offseason was Drew Brees throws the pass, Saints score touchdowns, and we laughed and we said, well, it'll be fine. It's Peyton and Brees. It'll be fine. It doesn't matter. who they throw to.
Yeah.
And it matters. You can't you can stretch that to the limit, but there comes a point where you have to have at least slightly above average there comes a point where you have to have slightly above average NFL receivers if you want to have a top five offense. And the Saints are beyond that point, I think, for sure, for the rest of the year. Like they're not, Kevin, do you agree? They're not going to get in the top eight of offense in 2015. Do you agree or disagree?
I cannot. I got to find. I look all over these damn stats and numbers and everything I'm trying to pull up during the show. Top 15, man, God, what are they at now?
Well, you said they were at 17th in points, and that's all really
about.
Yeah,
17th. Yeah, they're 17th in points. So let me get scoring, I guess. I'm looking up. I'm on NFL. Actually, no shit, I'm on ESPN. So ESPN might not be using what happened today, which is kind of annoying. Passing. No, team, guys.
But I mean, they got a lot of work to do. They got a lot of work to get to number, you know, to get to 10, I think, on offense. And I just, you know, but as we thank everybody for calling in or not for, we have a bunch of people in the chat room.
Yeah, nobody for not calling in.
But not, thanks for nothing for not calling in. Here's a question from Sports Cajun, and then we'll get to the you'll get to your MVP of the game. If Bro makes the Pro Bowl, should the Superdome serve Canadian favorites such as Poutine and ketchup chips? I don't know what the fuck ketchup chips are, but it sounds horrible.
Listen, Canadian bacon, maybe. Like, if any local pizza joint in New Orleans wants to get in on some of that synergy with the Saints, you offer sweetheart deals on pizzas that have Canadian bacon on them.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome, New Orleans Commerce.
Yeah, Bromart, the Twitter Bromart account ought to get on.
Bromart ought to be off. Yeah, Bromart ought to be selling Canadian bacon out the wazoo.
He ought to be a spon. That ought to be a sponsorship deal that's done.
Well, him and the cat.
Who that cat?
Yeah, him and the who that cat, and the one that was actually in the game, not the one from that nutty lady.
So, final thought, Kevin, your MVP, and just overall thoughts on where the Saints are at 3-4.
MVP. I'll go ahead and jump on Cam Jordan for that. I was tempted to say Delvin Bro, and if you wanted to make that argument, I'd be fine with it. Only because it's like, yeah, he slipped and that's why they scored. But hey, he did trip up and slip or whatever it was. So I'll say Cam
Hopefully
Jordan.
Daniel Ellerbee's okay. He looked good again. He had 7 tackles. But continue.
No, that was it. Cam Jordan player of the game for me.
I'm going to go – this is a tough one. I'm going to go – and I don't watch tape, so I don't know. But I feel like that Stephon Anthony, I feel like his interception was big. And he had 7 tackles and 5 solo. This is the first time the Saints had held a team to under 100 yards rushing. And I know Frank Gore has a cane and he's 600 years old. But everybody else ran on the Saints. So when they actually play run defense, you got to give them credit. So I'll go Stephon Anthony. And they're 3-4, and their schedule is a dream the rest of the way. And look, at least we're not going to – Kevin, I don't think when we get to – I think we won't start worrying about who they're going to pick in the draft until December, which is a fine, surprising development the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am. That's it. That's a good thing.
You know, it's a really good thing. You know, they can win next week and get to 4-4. You turn and head for home 4-4. You're at least not out of it. So, thanks to the dozens of people in the chat room, but also shame on you people for not calling in and just using Twitter for questions. So, for Kevin and for me and the rest of you, I'm drunk and the Dolphins. Be well, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Huzzah.